Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in everybody to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Tuesday. A big day for Chiefs fans, certainly. Travis Kelce gets a new deal. Maybe some encouraging signs for just how long Travis Kelce will be playing. We've got Patrick Mahomes, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Monday Night Raw. So we'll get into all of it as the boys hit the pro wrestling scene last night and some other things there. The Royals dropped the first one. We were right about our betting on that game last night. We'll get into that as well. So another big thing happening as it relates to both the Chiefs and Royals is you've got kind of some smoke coming out of Topeka as lawmakers are up there doing a lot of things. One of them is preparing potentially to sweeten up a pot to offer up the pro sports teams to come across the state line. What we're going to do is in our next segment, I'm going to bring in our 12 News political reporter, Sean Logging. He is all over all of this stuff. We're going to bring him on with us to get to the bottom of what exactly is happening. How real is this? What should we be thinking about right now? What is a star bond? We'll get into all of it with Sean in just a little bit, so stay tuned for that. But it's a fun day, a lot of interesting things happening. You can, of course, call us on the KFH hotline, the IHOP hotline, which is 869-1240. You can get in touch with us on social media, follow our pages. We've got all kinds of different things, Tommy and I, or the show specifically. You can watch our video streams and get in touch with us on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. So we'll have Sean to get to the latest of what's going on with Topeka with pro sports in just a little bit. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good. Busy morning. Glad to be here, though. And you and I were texting a little bit last night as this news was dropping out of Topeka. And I'm glad that we've got somebody that's probably a little bit more intelligent than you and I. You know, they can speak to what's going on up at the state house, yesterday, because it's a big deal. And I think at surface level, you know, we can probably dissect it. But there's a lot of like ins and outs in the world of politics that I don't particularly understand and I don't pretend to understand. So it'll be good to get some context on that.
Sean has more patience for politics than I do, than we do. So that'll be good. We'll have him on in just a little bit. The other stuff, Tommy, yesterday is the Kelce deal. And, you know, Travis Kelce signs. It's really confusing on what exactly happened other than he got paid another like $34 million. Was it an extension? Was it just a raise on what he currently had? There were about 90 different reports on exactly what it was that the Chiefs did with his contract. But the one thing we do know is they got a big raise. He'll now be the highest paid tight end in football, which is the way it should be. That the fact that that was ever in question was kind of laughable. The real question is, should he be paid like a wide receiver? But that's okay. He doesn't really care that much. It doesn't seem like. So they get that part taken care of. He is signed through 2027. I think when you see the money added to the next 2 years, that at least begins to give us maybe some indication, Tommy, of you've got at least 2 years of Kelce left. And it could be more because the deal goes further than that. But I think when you see the money coming in the next two, that's probably a pretty good indicator for at least for the next two seasons, the Chiefs will be able to count on Travis Kelce. Now, he missed 1,000 yards last year by 16 yards. It would have been, what, his eighth, I think, straight 1,000-yard season, which is just ridiculously lapping the field on that particular category. He was still second in the league in receiving yards. His touchdowns were way down, which was interesting. Still plenty of gas left in the tank. Is it the Travis Kelce of 2 years ago? Probably not. But I also think that there was a lot of added stuff on Kelce's plate last year. And I'm not talking about Taylor Swift. I'm talking about unreliability on the line. Maybe, you know, limited a little bit of what he does. Not that he sits back and blocks very often, but also just that they didn't for a long time have any other options to go to. His catch total was way higher, right, than it normally is. But when you've got all those defenders there to stop him, his yak is a little lower. I think he has a ton left in the tank, and I would venture to say that, and I would, you know, I don't think it's a long shot to say I think he'll be the best tight end in football again next year. Sam LaPorta is coming up on him after maybe the best rookie season for a tight end we've ever seen. But Kelce's got plenty left in the tank. Nothing to see here. I think, Tommy, we can look at this for at least the next 2 years and maybe more, but for at least the next two, things will be just fine for Kelce and KC.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that I thought about when this deal was announced. I wanted to go and see who the highest paid tight end was before Kelce. It's Darren Waller.
Kittle, right?
No, it's Darren Waller with the Giants.
Oh, he got that new deal. That's right.
And I'm like, okay, so Darren Waller becomes the highest paid, the richest tight end in the league. And there's something wrong there, and they need to do what they can to try to make it better for Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce has a long history of taking probably less than the market value to help the team. Everybody talks about Patrick Mahomes restructuring his deal constantly, and for good reason. The quarterback is always the highest paid position on the team, and so it makes a larger impact when a guy like Patrick Mahomes takes less money than, you know, what he maybe is due or deserved. But it does mean something also when Travis Kelce can contribute some by not taking, you know, his full share of the money. And so I love the fact that there was an opportunity to be able to do that and reward him, lock him in. I do think it's ironic that there were all of these rumors leading up to the Super Bowl about how both Andy Reid and Travis Kelce were going to retire. Now both of them are locked in for at least a couple more years, and Andy Reid longer than that, it seems like. And now you've got this opportunity to keep the nucleus together for, you know, such a long time. I certainly didn't think, even if you go back to, you know, gosh, maybe almost 2 years ago, I certainly didn't think that we would be sitting here right now in 2024 with Reid, Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones all locked in long-term with the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought at least one of them would probably be gone, and that was probably going to be Chris Jones, but they're yeah, all back, and they're all going to continue on, you know, at least for a while longer, and at least for the three players, they're all but guaranteed, Mahomes, Kelce, and Jones, being Chiefs for their entire career.
The switch on Chris Jones has been interesting. But the other two, like whenever I look at Kelce and Andy Reid, all I ever think about is, could you imagine those guys not wanting to be on a football field? And, you know, that's what is a big part of what makes those two special. Chris Jones was in a little bit of a, you know, he was in a contract dispute. He wanted to be the highest paid, all those things. Sometimes you can't control that. Head coaches always get paid. We never hear about coaches wanting to get paid more. That just happens and takes care of itself. Travis Kelce's made it pretty clear, like, yeah, I'm underpaid, but I don't really care. I mean, on it, like, that's been his take. Yeah. Like, yep, I don't care, though. Like, I love it here. This is what I want to do. It's part of his appeal and why people love him so much, I think, is because he really does relate to the rest of us. I mean, we can all put ourselves in that situation and be like, I don't want to leave my friends and, like, everything I love. I'm making plenty of money right where I am. That's how most of us operate, yeah. Right? Like, it's, you know, that's a very normal thing to feel. We all pretend like chasing the most money is the thing that motivates all of us in life when we talk about pro athletes. And the reality is that's just not true for most of society. Like, most people would choose happiness over money 99 times out of 100. That's not the case in pro sports all the time. But there also aren't a lot of relationships in pro sports that get created that are the same as what the Chiefs have right now. And so, you know, I think you have to look at those things honestly, especially when Travis Kelce's telling you he doesn't really care, right? He's not even pretending. He's just like, whatever, man. I just want to. I do this for free. I think the famous quote. I do this S for free is what Kelce likes to say. So here we go. And good on the Chiefs for taking care of him anyway. I mean, at some point you still have to do the right thing, and that's what he needs. So good for that. We're gonna have more on that and more on the night at Monday Night Raw for the Chiefs last night. Taylor Swift conspiracy theorist. I've got something for you on that. We'll get into that in a little bit. But the other big news as it relates to the Chiefs and the Royals and everything else comes from Topeka, as we keep getting this seesaw of the interest from the state of Kansas in bringing these teams across. Well, a lot of smoke yesterday. Sean Logging, our 12 News political reporter, is going to join us to get to the bottom of this. And, you know, how much should we be paying attention to it? We'll have Sean next. Stick with us. Sports Daily rolls forward on a Tuesday.
To get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Remind you that Shocker baseball broadcasts are available live for free here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. You can tune in tonight at 5:45. Wichita State in Stillwater taking on Oklahoma State. You can listen to it live on the air or download the Odyssey app and just search for KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on this Tuesday. A lot of smoke up from Topeka last night, late afternoon. There's a lot of things happening, so we're going to bring in 12 News political reporter Sean Logging, who is all over all of this stuff. And, you know, it was sort of, Sean, like, in one hand, you have all the attention on some of the more lightning rod political issues right now, a huge tax debate going on right now that we're all interested in, right? And then later in the afternoon, you get to back to all of this business regarding trying to lure pro sports over to the state of Kansas. Now, quick backstory for everybody. You go way back when Kansas got betting. I think I told you, Sean, like that day, I'm like, you watch. Kansas is about to get betting because the Chiefs are potentially on the market. Boom. Bipartisan. All gets rammed through the fastest it had ever been done. Then you get Laura Kelly basically like talking a little trash on the state of Missouri saying, yeah, come on over. The failed vote happens in KCMO, in Jackson County there. Laura Kelly sort of backs off of that, the governor, and says, well, you know, we don't really have that much money anyway. And then yesterday, this debate on, well, what can we do to get them over? So what happened yesterday? What has changed here in the last couple of weeks, or where does this all stand?
Yeah, so it's kind of a last-minute thing. So the legislature essentially is going to be wrapping up the session as possibly soon as today. So, like, this is going to be a very quick process. But yesterday afternoon, there was a conference committee where the commerce committees for both the House and Senate that met. Basically, you have six lawmakers, and they're basically just working out this deal, essentially, that would create a program where they would use the STAR bonds that currently are already offered here in the state of Kansas to help essentially pay for the stadium and associated infrastructure costs to try to attract potentially the Chiefs, Royals, or another professional sports team to Kansas.
Sean, how much of this, from the state of Kansas perspective, is strategic versus opportunistic? Is this something that, do you think, in the back of lawmakers' minds, they've been interested in or wanting to maybe pursue for a long time? Or is this primarily, you know, fairly recent just because of the way that Missouri has handled the way that things have gone with the Chiefs and the Royals?
I think it's going to be a little bit of both here. So, of course, you had that professional sports fund that was created after sports betting became legal here in Kansas. That's created a little bit of money, a few million dollars, but it's definitely not enough to help essentially build a a stadium or actually facilitate a team here in the state of Kansas. But of course, after that vote in Missouri here earlier this year, that kind of opened the floodgates, essentially. And so this is essentially another avenue that lawmakers are looking at to try to essentially lure a team here across state lines into Kansas. And of course, the big question right now, too, is even though we have this conference committee here meeting yesterday, it sounds like there's essentially a deal between Senate and House on essentially this type of legislation. The big question now is, will it actually be supported by the full Senate and House bodies, which still have to vote on this?
So there is some, not much money that has been set aside from basically the gambling funds to help do this. I think that's what the governor was saying. We don't have nearly enough there, but it's something. Yeah. So what does a star bond then look like? Well, explain to folks what exactly a star bond is and how it affects all of our pocketbooks. Maybe it doesn't affect all of our pocketbooks, but maybe people just up there in that region. What does that look like when that happens?
Yeah, so a good example is like star bonds have been used for years here in Kansas and basically allows municipalities to essentially basically provide the bond, essentially the funding for a project, and then it will be paid back through sales tax revenue in the district or area around that project. A good example here in Wichita is the Riverfront Baseball Stadium development. That's a star bond project. And so basically every time you buy something in the Delano area, like the sales tax from that goes to help pay off that project. Another example here in Wichita is like K96 in Greenwich. That is also a star bond project. And so basically anytime you are buying or shopping or going to a restaurant there or anything like that, like part of that sales tax funding is going to help pay back that project.
I want to ask you about our governor, Laura Kelly, for a second. And I know that I think it was just a couple of years ago that she and Mike Parson in Missouri had kind of a little bit of a truce as far as like, you know, not trying to steal businesses from the other state and that sort of thing. But then I know that, you know, Kelly was on record saying that that doesn't apply to professional sports teams. From the perspective of the governor's office, and even, you know, not just, you know, for the ability to attract one or both of these teams, but from a political standpoint, for her political future, is this something you feel like she would be really interested in pursuing and breaking that truce? Or what do you think the perspective is from the governor's mansion?
Well, the big thing, too, is like she's in her second term, so she has term limits, so she can't run for re-election here in 2 years. So basically, it kind of really doesn't help her, say, for an election. So, but of course, like anytime you can probably bring a professional sports team to Kansas, it's going to be a big deal for the state of Kansas. And so, like, of course, the governor will probably take any win that she can. The big question, though, too, is just, of course, what could Missouri or what could Jackson County still do to try to keep the Chiefs or Royals there or prevent a sports team from leaving the state?
It's interesting, Sean. So I was pretty surprised at the Jackson County outcome. I was surprised that it failed. I was definitely surprised by the margin. I don't think there's any way in the current climate that you're persuading that many voters to change their minds on any issue. I don't think Jackson County, by doing the extension, has any chance to get this done. That's an opportunity, I think, for the state of Kansas. Now, whether or not people want that opportunity, I guess, is a good question here. But I do think in general terms, there seems to be more of an appetite for the star bond avenue. I'm a little surprised Jackson County hasn't done that. I don't know if they even can do it in the state of Missouri. But I think, at least we've seen in recent history here, when you give people the opportunity to pay for things through sales tax, which is what they're doing in Jackson County anyway, but not like, I don't know, an added tax to, you know, just the regular income tax or using money that's already in the budget, it seems to me historically there is a better appetite for doing something like that. If the lawmakers wanted to do this and they can get this done and the chief said, all right, you know what, we'll do it. Do you think the public has the appetite for that? I kind of feel like they do here to do something like that. Because if you're in Sedgwick County, I mean, this doesn't cost you any money unless you're up there using the stadium, right?
Yeah, essentially, like anytime you go up there. So if this happens, anytime you go up there and like shop at the neighboring businesses or restaurants, like that's when you'd actually be paying for it, essentially. But yeah, on the appetite for the state of Kansas, I don't know if I have a good answer for that. Of course, it's kind of a wait and see, essentially, to see if this actually gets through, becomes law, as it still needs to do. But of course, the lawmakers up in PICA, at least the members of this conference committee, seem very willing to move forward with this effort. They seem like they were mentioning yesterday, they were talking about let's go get a professional sports team. So we'll see what happens in the legislature here, either today or tomorrow, potentially.
I know it's hard to tell, Sean, about the overall success rate of utilizing star bonds for projects because, you know, of course, you're waiting for the future to kind of play out, you know, to see if the sales tax revenue, you know, can really offset the cost of these projects. But knowing that Kansas has this in its back pocket, are there, I know you've listed some of the examples, at least in the Wichita area, do you know about like early returns on some of these star bond projects and how successful they've been?
Yeah, so some other ones like Children's Mercy, the project for like Sporting KC, like that was used, had a star bond used, like the racetrack up in Kansas City, Wyandotte County as well. That was a star bonds project. So those, I think the racetrack one, that's still being paid off, but like that was a larger project. And so like that's a more, like you're just basically, you have a bit more like of a longer term window to pay that off, of course. But like when it comes to the deal that lawmakers are working out for potentially getting a professional sports team, like they're looking at basically a 30-year window to pay back that project. And so basically it's very much a long-term investment. So if it provides a return on investment too, that's going to be a wait and see, essentially.
Sean Logging joining us, 12 News political reporter. Sean's brain knows everything about everything. It's remarkable. We are very appreciative to have him at 12 News. By the way, on all this, you could follow him on Twitter for updates at KWCH Sean. That's S-H-A-W-N, not one of those weird S-H-A-U-Ns, Sean. So at KWCH Sean there to get the latest on this stuff. So where are we in the process then, Sean? If the legislative body pushes this through and says, yes, we want to do it, do they need both the House and Senate vote? And then if that happens, is the governor expected to sign off on that as we're sitting in the veto session right now, or would she veto? Where does she stand, I guess, on it, and where does this still need to go? Like, what are the steps that would still have to happen?
Yeah, so yesterday we had the conference committee. So basically now we'll go to the floor. So both the House and the Senate would need to basically pass it out. And then, of course, it would go to the governor's desk. She would have to either sign it, let it go into law without her signature, or veto it. And so where the governor is at this, it's going to be a calculation of whether she sees this as a good investment for Kansas, essentially. Like on the tax cut bill, like she's concerned about the long-term cost of that. So, of course, that's something she's going to be weighing, is just kind of, is this going to be worth the interest and the time that Kansas has to spend to build this stadium, build the infrastructure around it, things like that. But of course, like overall, like if it has like a lot of bipartisan support, you can imagine the governor supporting it as well, because in the end, getting a professional sports team here in Kansas is going to be a good thing for essentially everyone.
I mean, she said she supported it when all of this first got rumbled around. She was kind of the torch carrier on making this noise in the first place, right?
Yeah, like recently she says like she's not going to be like actively pursuing it, but it sounds like initially she was very much open to either the Chiefs, potentially the Royals, kind of moving across state lines through to Kansas. So she's put herself out there as someone that is willing to at least explore this option. Whether or not she's actually going to be the one that's the driving force behind it, that kind of still has to be seen.
Okay. Well, Sean, we appreciate it. We really appreciate you hopping on here with us. I know you've got a busy day there at 12 News. Again, follow along with Sean on his social media pages. I try to goad Sean into taking a stand on some of these things all the time. He won't do it. So you're going to get a straight down the middle, great representation of all of this stuff. Follow Sean. He's the best in town at this. We appreciate it, Sean. I know you got a busy day. Thanks for hopping on here with us for a few minutes.
No worries, Jacob. No worries, Tommy. Take care.
All right, there goes Sean Logging. I can't get Sean to do it. We can do it, Tommy, though. We can banter about this a little bit.
Yeah.
It is interesting, and I don't take stances on this stuff, you know, intentionally too, because of what I do for a living over there at 12 News. But I do like exploring the intricacies of it and trying to get a feel for it. I want to know, like, what is the appetite here for this? I think star bonds are generally pretty popular. They do make sense to me. I kind of like the idea of them because it at least, you know, sometimes when we give tax incentives and advantages to here, let me start that back just a little bit. So on the same day, we're getting pushback and trying to figure out, we got this huge surplus. Like, I'm a business owner now. All of our property taxes, if you own a house, have gone up at just a stupid, absurd, obscene amount in recent years. Like, we'd all like to get a little of our money back, right? So then you have this situation where it's like, okay, well, the state also wants to spend money on this. I do always feel like there's more of an appetite to pay that stuff through sales tax, right? So it doesn't really impact the budget as much. It's sales tax driven. And the other thing that makes sense on those to me is it's paid for in the area it's being used. The economic benefit of having the Chiefs in the state of Kansas, no matter what, you know, PowerPoint they present, doesn't really impact us that much in Sedgwick County.
Yeah.
Unless we go up there and use it, right? Now, it really impacts them up there, right? Jobs, you know, tourism dollars, all of that stuff going into effect up there, totally. How do you pay for that, though, at a state level when it doesn't affect everybody the same way? Well, sales tax in the area it's driven has always made sense to me rather than big tax cuts to mega companies coming in. We don't always see the benefit of where those are placed, no matter where they're placed. In case. Same vice versa, too. If something comes into Wichita, does it really benefit the people in Garden City? Probably not. So it's always an interesting strategic debate and discussion to see how these things come up. But I do think star bonds typically are a little bit more popular than just straight up tax, you know, incentives.
The only thing that I wonder about, and I know that nobody has a crystal ball, so, you know, it's hard to really be able to track this. And I asked Sean this question: what's the early returns on success rates for star bond projects? If you're talking about 30 years down the line, you know, it'll be our kids that will know, you know, well, that's true, but there's not, when it comes to a lease, there's not, you know, the tax revenue that's being generated, you know, to pay for it at that point. So I feel like, I just wonder, if you get 30 years down the line, what happens if a project doesn't generate enough revenue to pay for the entire project at the end of the 30 years? Then at that point,
I assume you pay for you is pay, the you
next
pick up the
is
tab.
The next generation then responsible for paying off the remainder? You know what I mean? So that's the only thing that I wonder about when it comes.
Probably.
And I may have star. I may not fully understand the exact way that, you know, all the star bonds work.
I just looked up some of the results actually.
Yeah.
On how these star bond things have issued out, and there was an audit that I found back from 2020, and that's some of the more recent stuff I could find, but it was a report about how star bond money was working in the state of Kansas, and basically it was coming up short. It was coming up fairly short on expectations, tourism, all sorts of things. However, they said very much specifically that it was something along the lines of almost 80% of the star bonds issued that up to that point had been for Village West, that area up in the Kansas City area where they have the NASCAR track,
the Speedway, and
Children's Mercy Park and all that stuff. And they specifically left that out of the audit because they said it would have entirely changed the tone of the audit. So when looking into it,
in a negative way?
No, in a positive way. When you actually bring Village.
So that tourism area was maybe the outlier as far as
in a good way.
In a good way, as far as the success rate of star bonds.
In fact, that's interesting. It pays for the rest of the star bond projects.
Wow, okay.
By itself.
Yeah. So I don't know what the percentage is. I should have asked Sean that. I don't know if it's like a set percentage or if that's variable. But if it's sales tax driven. I mean, if you're talking, I'm going to just make up a number, okay? So, because I don't know, and I don't like to do that, but just for the sake of this discussion, let's say it's 2%. Because it's not that. What was it? 3/8 of a cent on something like that on every cent or something. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, when you're considering, let's take the Chiefs specifically, because I do want to also discuss which of these teams Kansas should be interested in. But if you're putting, you know, 70,000 people in a stadium 30 times a year, right? So that's I don't know how many events they have at Arrowhead, but let's say that's 2.1 million people. I mean, what are they paying for an average ticket to get into Arrowhead for a concert, whatever? $100?
$100 probably,
right?
Yeah.
$100? Minimum. You know, so you're looking at, now that's what, I think that's $2 billion, right? $210 million. So that's just the ticket portion, right? That's not the concessions. And then let's say it would be a 2% sales tax on that. I mean, that's $4.2 million, right? So if you've got a $2 billion project, you know, which it probably the Chiefs are going to get into. Nah, that's not going to be that high. Let's say it's a $1 billion stadium. How many zeros is that? Good Lord. That's 100 million. That's a billion there.
Doing basic math here on Sports Daily.
Divided by 4.2 million. You know, that's 238 years that would take. So it's obviously going to have to be more than that. But you got concessions. I mean, these venues aren't making all their money. And that doesn't consider either everything that goes around that stadium, all of that food, all of that hotel, all of that everything, and whatever that district ends up being also gets that same tax. I mean,
don't you think, though, and I'm not trying to be negative about the Star Bonds process, because I know that there have been things that have been successful, and there have been things in our own community that we wouldn't have as far as amenities and things like that without Star Bonds.
Yes.
So I'm not trying to be negative about the Star Bond process. But don't you think there's, you know, maybe a slight concern that maybe all we're doing with all of these projects is just kicking the can down the road? And, you know, then ultimately, like, we're kind of mortgaging the future, and then the bill's going to come due at the end of 30 years, and our kids aren't going to, like, they're going to have to pay for all of this stuff that we want to have right now. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing overall, because I do understand it's a popular way to generate tourism dollars and have, you know, all of these brand new amenities without passing down the tax burden right away to the taxpayers. But eventually that bill's going to come due. I think that would be the only thing that would concern me slightly.
It is. I think you have to think about it too. Not every situation is the same. Not just so, like, let's say LA, right? LA doesn't need to be doing star bonds to bring anything in. They don't, you know, LA is LA already. Whether they have whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. And that's probably part of the reason you had an ownership group just paying for their own stadium. It doesn't really add to the appeal of LA. I mean, it does to some degree, right?
People are coming to LA regardless.
Right. In Kansas, one of the challenges our state has absolutely is still bringing people into the state of Kansas.
And getting people to spend their money in this state and
live
here.
And
live here, work here,
correct.
All of that.
Yes.
I get that. I understand that.
So I think you can't look at every situation the same way. And so there's also an opportunity to pull money from across the street here, which is got some appeal, right? If you're looking at that, and we're competitive as a state, and we do want to compete economically with Missouri as a state. I think that stuff is important. It is important. And so there's all different ways that this happens. And I think the problem is we try to loop them all together. So, you know, does bringing a battery plant to the KC Mo area and giving them this huge tax incentive, just flat tax break, right? That's not a star bond issue. Does that benefit us here? That's a good debate to have, right? Because our tax dollars do go to bring that here. There's no question about that. Our tax dollars don't really, unless this doesn't get paid for, and that's why you have to really look at, you know, past history. And, you know, if in fact the, you know, Children's Mercy NASCAR area is wildly successful, which it sounds like based on what Jad was able to find, it is, and we can look at that, then, yeah, I think you have to look at them all differently. The reality is, at the same time this is being discussed in Topeka, Kansas has $3 billion of surplus, right? So somewhere that when they made the decision to build a NASCAR track and soccer stadium, kick that can down the road. How long ago did that happen? 20 years now? Are we 20 years into that? Probably.
Maybe not quite, but we're close, I would think.
I mean, we're not sitting there. We got a $3 billion tax surplus right now. So, I mean, you know, that, and that's a different debate. Like, give us some of our money back. And I wanted to give Sean a hard time to ask him about that, but I'm not going to do that because he's just not going to take my bait. But like, they're debating how to get some of us our money back right now because they have too much of it. And I appreciate that, right? Governments should try to operate at zero, right? You shouldn't try to operate with a surplus or a deficit. You should try to operate at zero. It's not like a business. A business, you want to operate all in the, all in the black and have this great surplus. That's great. A government needs to operate at net zero, right? Can we pay for what we've got? And everything else should come back to the people, in theory. So a star bond doesn't really impact that, at least in the way I've always understood star bonds. But you have to look at the research, right? If there's a history of failing with star bonds, you don't want to do that. But it doesn't sound like there is with this particular venture. It sounds like in this particular venture, it's probably been successful, which is probably why there's an appetite for it.
Yeah, and I guess you're right. We are over 20 years from that area. 2002 is when Village West opened. Kansas Speedway opened in 2001. Legends Field opened in 2002. Children's Mercy is a little bit newer. That opened in 2011. But still, that entire area, we're now over 20 years from there.
The other thing that's really interesting on this to me, it's hard to ever get a true sense of what a politician's feeling, because even more than their pro football team, a politician loves their politics more, right? So I don't get the sense that pro sports stadiums have a particular like left right by like, where people will fall based on what. I don't know that pro sports really has that.
They're going to look at free enterprise. I mean, like, that's going to be kind of the
no, I mean, driver. What I'm saying is, like, you can take a lot of political issues and you can know where a politician stands based on the letter in front of their name. Sure. I don't think that's the case with pro sports teams. So I do think we actually have an opportunity to get healthy debate, discussion, and everything, because it's pretty bipartisan. There isn't really a hard line on these things. So I'm curious to see what comes out of it. Like, what are the numbers? Does this make sense? It's a big opportunity. There's no doubt about that. When we come back, is it just Chiefs? Should it be Chiefs Royals? Like, what should we be interested in here in this circumstance that is presenting itself for the state of Kansas? It's Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Caster. Fun discussion today. This stuff is really interesting to me. We'll talk about it more next. All right, welcome back, everybody, here to Sports Daily. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Always appreciate them fueling us up each and every morning. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Always appreciate their support on the program as well. Get out to Crestview. Great time to join. The pool's going to open up soon. All kinds of memberships out there. If you're not a golfer, per se, they have social memberships where you can just get access to the pool and all the camps and great stuff for the kids. Give them a call. Tell them Sports Daily sent you over and see what they have going right now.
My 3-year-old is starting swim lessons today. So I think he's there. I think he's there now, right now, having swim lessons with my wife. And part of it is let's get him ready for the pool this summer out at Crestview and, have him be able to know what he's doing out there. So, yep, that's what we're into right now.
Our 4-year-old is getting close, and he's going to do the same thing. And I thought, I was like, all right, that pool opens Memorial Day.
Yep.
We got a stretch of time here. Let's get him in there and see if we can't get him swimming before then, because he's close. We're in the same boat. So we've got this, this debate happening, I guess, in Topeka, Tommy. And I think because the Chiefs and Royals have been across the street from each other forever, we just continue to think about the Chiefs and Royals bundled together. But that's really not the case. Like, it's not like you have to do this for both of them. Should Kansas be interested in both of them? Double the money. You got to build 2 new stadiums. Or do you just say, we want the Chiefs and the Royals can stay in Missouri? I think it's an honest question.
Yeah.
I would be, I, For a couple of reasons. I do think getting the Royals downtown, if they're going to move away from Kauffman, does make the most sense. But there are teams like the Braves right now who've kind of gone out to the burbs. I mean, the Rangers play in Arlington and not Dallas. That's certainly not. There are some cool things you can do around a baseball stadium. Don't get me wrong. Like, really cool things, and have 81 dates there, home dates. So I'm fine with it. I don't know that I love a $2 billion price tag or whatever, but I guess if you don't have to create the downtown infrastructure, maybe that price tag comes down. I would tell you this. If it's at the price tag they floated out there to go into downtown Kansas City, Missouri, I'd probably tell you I'm not very interested in that. If it's far less than that because it doesn't take that cost to not put one downtown, okay, I'd be more inclined to listen. The problem is they do compete with each other a little bit when you're talking about the non-actual game use. So, like, you're going to have Arrowhead and in theory, Kauffman sitting there. Like, are they both getting used? I don't think Kauffman's hosting outdoor concerts, you know, like Arrowhead does. So you kind of have a little of that going on too, but you'd have to, for me, you'd have to really bring that price tag down on the Royals, because if the Chiefs have to build a new stadium, like if they have to do a new Arrowhead, that price tag is going to be massive. And that's going to, you know, to take on both of them might be a lot.
I think that's pushing it. It would really surprise me if the state of Kansas is able to figure out, Starbond or not, the financials to build two brand new stadiums for both of those teams at around the same time. That's been the challenge with the fact that their leases are tied together and they're all kind of, you know, in bed together, because if they were both going to move to one location, then you're talking about two stadiums at once. And so I know that Clark Hunt mentioned during the draft that, you know, at this point right now, like, there's nothing that prohibits these teams from kind of going off and doing their own thing. They could always come back together if they needed to, but I think it behooves both the Royals and the Chiefs to explore additional options independent from one another. And I think that more than likely, yeah, I think that they would love, I think Kansas would love to have the Chiefs come over, but I think realistically, probably gonna be the Royals if I had to choose one. Like, if there were betting odds, I would say probably the betting favorite would probably be the Royals. A less expensive stadium. You could, in theory, I don't know about locations, but in theory, you could attach it to Village West and the Legends and all of that. You could kind of have it be part of that in Wyandotte County. As you mentioned, 81 dates over the course of the season. Ken on our video stream mentions not only 81 dates, but 81 dates in beautiful weather for the most part, you know, versus the dead of winter with the Chiefs. So I do think it's probably, like, if I had to guess one or the other, I'd probably say Royals.
Senator Tommy Caster, you're casting your vote.
Yeah.
One, both, neither. What would you vote for? And if it's one, which one would it be? Not what do you think, what would you vote for? What would you be inclined to pursue?
I would want to probably pursue both to get started. And then if that doesn't seem feasible, then I think, you know, the backup plan is probably the Chiefs, and then the backup to that's probably the Royals. And I would imagine that's, knowing the way that our political system works, it's probably where it's going to fall to.
I think I'd start with Chiefs only, then go to both, then go to Royals only.
But you know what? At the end of the day, like, I know we both put the Royals as kind of the plan C, but that's not a bad plan C. I mean, it's not like you're losing with any of these options.
I just think the Royals are better served combining with the Chiefs didn't help them get the vote they needed.
Right.
So, okay, break it apart. Go back. Don't attack this through Jackson County only. Attack it through the city itself and still try to get downtown if you can, I think. I just think it makes more sense for the Royals to do that. This is really interesting stuff, and I know people might think this is a pipe dream. It is not. Just remember how quickly they ran through sports betting. It's always the example to remember. It had been a debate for decades until this got thrown out there, and then boom!
And remember when it came through, and we learned that there was the provision in there for the fund for a professional sports team.
Yep.
And I remember, at least, I don't know about you, but I was like, okay, yeah, right. Like, Kansas is not going to get a professional sports team. And here we are. And you know what? If this all comes to fruition one way or another, I think Missouri's going to look back on this in retrospect and kick themselves. They already lost the Rams.
They'll regret it.
They already lost the Rams.
They'll regret it.
You know, and they've got nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, they'll regret it. There's no doubt. Whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision, there is perception in play for your state. And that's a factor in all this. It really is. All right, the IHOP hotline's open. You can chime in, 869-1240. The Shockers add a player yesterday. The Cats lose a player that really surprised me. We have both of those. We'll get more into Travis Kelce, his future with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs night at Monday Night Raw. As we make our transition into the next hour, let's give away some HTO, free iced tea, free rain coffee, for the first caller on that IHOP hotline. You can get the tea at either Wichita location or in Derby. You can get the free rain coffee in Derby or in East Wichita. Good luck, everybody. First caller right now wins those prizes. We'll come back. Hour number two coming up.
.975 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
ESPN Bet ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. There's no better time to be sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. I've got two going right now on ESPN Bet. They had they had one of their own built parlays boosted. The Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Mets each to win the first five innings at plus 850. I'm going to hedge that a little bit. I'll take that, just sprinkle a little bit there, and go Royals to win outright, Rangers to win outright at plus 267. So I'm on either side, sort of the Royals. You know, maybe the Blue Jays get ahead and then the Royals get to the bullpen if they can get Berríos out of the game. Congratulations to Jared for winning our HTO giveaway. We'll get more into the Royals in just a little bit. Tommy, let's continue the discussion with Travis Kelce. He is going to be in Kansas City for the rest of his career, we assume. Two of those years, though, he's getting well paid. So they give him his raise. They make him the highest paid. I think it's interesting that over the next 2 years he gets that, because I think that's the first real concrete, not speculative thing that we can get on how much longer he'll be playing. And I think if you just say at least two more seasons, that feels realistic. Who knows if they make the three-peat happen? You know, is that, you know, do you need to go for a four-peat at that point? I mean, I don't know, but it looks like at least the next two. And I think the Chiefs would be happy to have him at that salary for at least two more years, because he just continues to get it done.
You can kind of read the tea leaves and the way that things have played out this offseason, and especially with the draft, the fact that they did draft a tight end, but not a tight end that you feel like could come in and be the heir apparent to Kelce as far as pass catching is concerned. So, you know, you could sort of see that there really, it wasn't like the Chiefs were in this major rush to try to find who's going to be next in line to take over for him. And so, you know, then of course, immediately following the draft, they end up signing him to an extension and restructuring his contract. So, you know, I don't think that there's been really any serious level of concern at all from the side of the Chiefs front office that he was actually going to walk away. I think that, you know, they probably had more questions about Andy Reid and what his future was as opposed to Travis Kelce moving forward. So, you know, at the end of the day, though, they're able to get it done. And I do think that now you can put that to bed for at least a while. And it gives Brett Veach and it gives Andy Reid an opportunity to figure out exactly what their strategy is going to be for the tight end of the future, but they can kind of put that off for a little bit.
Yeah, it's just not that big a deal, because neither of us have thought that it was going to end. The Andy Reid stuff got a little strange there for a while. I never believed the Kelce stuff, because I just can't imagine while he's at the top of the game, you know, giving it up. Because age, yeah, he's getting older, but it's not slowing him down at all. And it's not Andy Reid either. And maybe we should just loop them both into that same category. Probably should loop them into the same category. I'll tell you this, Tommy. This Taylor Swift thing's getting real. And, I've always believed in it. I'm not sure I've ever believed in it more than seeing Patrick Mahomes, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith being a part of Monday Night Raw, having some fun, stare down with a former Big 12, football player there and Braun Strowman, who I think played football at West Virginia, if I recall correctly. There was a little beef there. That was fun. Letting whatever that guy's name is, one of the Pauls, borrow his Super Bowl rings.
Logan Paul.
Borrow his Super Bowl rings to go punch somebody. That was awesome. His offensive lineman standing up, which, by the way, did you see how small they looked
next to
Braun Strowman? Yep. That was great. But you know who wasn't there? Travis Kelce.
I mean, can you blame him? You and I are both married. I mean, we know what that's like. A night out on a Monday night with the boys at a wrestling event. Now you got to stay home and take care of the kids.
And he's not there. He's everywhere. I mean, come on now, for real. Like it is real. When you're staying home and your boys are being a part of, not just there to watch, front row and a part of Monday Night Raw, and Travis Kelce, the great showman himself, who would have been a great pro wrestler, isn't in attendance. Oh,
well, that's
man.
Right up Travis Kelce's alley. I mean,
it is.
That's he seems like he would want to be a professional wrestler if he could be.
Yes. He would be very good at it. And we know they all love it and appreciate it. Man, when I didn't see him there, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, when you can kind of get wherever you need to go at a moment's notice and you're not there for that, man. Well, my question is, though, when it's Taylor Swift you're dating, do you get the appropriate amount of angst from your buddies that the rest of us would get when you don't show up to that with them? Like, does it work the same when it's T-Swift?
I don't think it changes. You know,
and she's, like, topping all the charts? Yeah.
I don't think it changes. It might be amplified. It might be different, but...
Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, Mahomes still gets to, like, give him a hard time forever for not being there, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think the difference is, like, in my case, if I don't get to go hang out with my buddies, it's because I'm changing diapers, or I have to take out the trash. You know, Travis Kelce probably has to fly to Milan with Taylor Swift, and that's why he couldn't make it. Like, it's just a different...
Yeah,
I think you can still get
grief. To your
buddies,
it doesn't matter.
You can still get grief from
your
buddies.
Yeah, you're still catching...
It's just a different kind of why you couldn't be a part of it. You know, you're not...
But
you're probably not doing...
But the grief is the same,
The grief is the same. But, let's say they get married. It's not like Travis Kelce is like, sorry, guys, I can't hang out. I've got a honey-do list, and I've got to take care of things around the house. Now, they've got people
or
to
does
do
he?
That. Now, they've got people to
or
do
does
that.
He?
No, they've got people to do that. It's going to be more like, hey, Kylie Jenner called, and, we've got to go out to Napa for a couple of days. I'm not going to be able to make it happen.
A, who is Kylie Jenner? B, Travis Kelce does not strike me as the kind of guy that has people to do those things. Like, Travis Kelce
does.
Probably...
Taylor does, for sure.
I don't know that.
I'm sure she does.
Honestly, I have no idea.
I'm sure she does.
But, I feel like Travis Kelce probably mows his own yard, right? Maybe not at where he lives, but you know what I mean. Like, I get out there and mow the grass. Like, that, there's certain things that you do, even if you can have somebody for that. I don't know. I was very surprised to not see him there. And, for all the T-Swift fans, that probably tells you as much as you need to know that this is the real deal. Travis Kelce, for whatever the reason was not a part of Monday Night Raw with his boys, chugging beers, having fun, getting on camera.
And just a couple of hours after he signed a new contract. Like, that seems like the perfect place to celebrate
all
that.
All the reason to be there, right? Where was Raw last night? Where was it?
It was in Kansas City.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was
in Kansas
City. I
figured they, traveled there. Oh, no. He wasn't there and it was in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's gotten bad. That's tough.
It was at the T-Mobile Center.
That's tough. He should have been there.
That's why they were part of it. And you know what's being overshadowed?
He's going to regret that.
There were so many, you know, cool moments from that and the way that they included Mahomes and the offensive line and all that. I don't know if you saw this, but Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, they were in the ring. They got to interact.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was a whole segment, and I'm pretty sure that it was the young boy from the parade shooting that stayed with Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey during that time, and they sheltered him. He was there with them. I'm pretty sure that that little boy got to welcome the crowd to Monday Night Raw.
Oh, nice. Okay.
With
okay.
Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, you know, during all of that.
I don't know because I haven't watched, and for those out there, I am a huge pro wrestling fan. I did it for a little while. Love it. Love everything about it. I am not a consumer of it and haven't been for probably about, 5 years, but I still love it, and it like holds a very special place in my heart. I don't know, though, the ins and outs of what's happening right now very much. Isn't Logan Paul a bad guy?
I have no
Isn't
idea.
Isn't he a heel?
Isn't he a bad guy just in general, like just in his life? I don't know. I have no idea.
I think he wears that heel. So like for Mahomes to be helping him, I thought was kind of interesting, right? For Mahomes to sort of take that heel vibe a little bit. That was kind of fun and probably an opportunity Mahomes never gets in his life to not be the hero, right? Not be the face. So it was a cool night. And we're, of course, poking a little fun at Kelsey for not being there. But Kelsey gets his big deal. And it is good to see that taken care of because he deserves it. And, you know, you can still have a healthy debate of that's great that he's the highest paid tight end. He should probably be paid more like some of the highest paid wide receivers. But I think one of the reasons people love Travis Kelce so much, again, we had on this first hour because he doesn't care. He's like the rest of us. It's like, no, this is good. I'm happy here. I'm fine. Like, that's more money than I'll ever need. That part we can't really relate to, but he gets to have that luxury, and I think it only adds to his legend for the Chiefs, just like his brother in Philadelphia. Legend in a great football town. There is something to Tommy being able to get it all done in one place. Those players are remembered, I think, a little more fondly or hold. It's like and even more now with free agency, it's a real badge of honor because we just don't see it happen that often.
Well, think about a guy like Tony Gonzalez, for example, with the Chiefs that, you know, before Travis Kelce came around, he was the best tight end of all time and was incredible with the Chiefs and then left and played a couple of years with the Falcons. And not that it tarnished
his
legacy.
He played a lot of years with the Falcons.
Not that it tarnished his legacy as a Kansas City Chief, but you can't think of him in just the mindset of, oh, he was a Chief for life, you know? And so I think it's different now, you know, with Travis Kelce. And that sort of thing just doesn't happen a whole lot these days.
No. Almost never. And even Rob Gronkowski, who I think for some people even surpassed Tony Gonzalez, if he's the other guy in the conversation, even he, and his was more fun, right? He went back to play a couple years with his buddy, but you know, the guys that can do it all in one place, there is something that feels more special about it. Good for the Chiefs for recognizing that. The Chiefs should do everything they can to make sure Travis Kelce never does anything but be representative of Kansas City, especially now as he's becoming this mega celebrity. Even before Taylor Swift, but especially now after Taylor Swift, my goodness. So anyway, he gets his deal. He deserves his deal. No question about it. Dude's a rock star on the field. Should have been at Raw with his buddies. That's what happens. Welcome to the lives of the rest of us, Travis. No, you can't just drop everything and go to Monday Night Raw and chug beers with your buddies all the time, anytime you want to, even when you're a superstar millionaire celebrity. Because you got to stay home and, you know, watch HGTV with your girl and think about how to remodel something.
Last weekend, I had a tea time and my wife she knew about it. I mean, I had mentioned it before, had a tea time with some friends out at Crestview. And it wasn't until I was dressed and I was wearing my golf clothes. It was Saturday morning, walked out and my wife was like, no, that's not going to work. And we had nothing going on. There were no plans. She had just made the decision in that moment that it wasn't going to happen. And so I stayed home. So I can commiserate with Travis Kelce, not to the same level, but I get it. I'm there. I live it every day.
Are you more inclined to deal with the aftermath of the annoyance or just comply? Generally speaking, obviously in that decision, you chose compliance. How often are you like, you know what? You can be in a bad mood today. I'm going to play golf.
Yeah, you haven't met my wife. No, I'm kidding. I say that with total love and respect, obviously, because I'm scared of her. But what I'm saying, I think that there, it depends on the situation. There are times where I know it's going to be in my best interest to just shut my mouth and comply. Now, there are other times where I'm going to put up a fight, you know, and I'm going to be like, that's ridiculous and speak my mind. I mean, you and I, we get a chance to give our opinions on a daily basis on this program.
Yeah.
And so I'm an opinionated person. I'm not going to keep quiet, you know, on a lot of different things. Occasionally, though, I've learned after almost a decade of marriage, it's probably in some cases better to just keep my mouth shut. If I know that, like, I've got several days where, like, I'm going to have to, like, be around her and I need her to be in a good mood, I might just comply. But there are other times that I'll speak up.
What's happened to us? What have we turned into? This is ridiculous.
What about you? Are you more of a compliance or are you more of a speak your mind and, you know, try to fight back?
50-50. 50-50. My problem is I speak my mind too often in most circumstances. And so I don't pick battles well, as you can imagine. I just generally, I got this going on. It's not, and that doesn't go both directions either. Usually, like, on the family calendar, like, I'll see things that she's got going on that we've never talked about. Like, she's just like, yeah, I'm not going to, and I'm like, okay, did we talk about it? And I don't remember things well anyway. I'm like, what did we talk? That would not go well if it was reciprocated.
Right.
Like,
just putting things on the calendar.
Like, going to the family calendar and putting, going to the bar with my buddies, just, like, popping it in there.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't, you know, and not that she cares. She wants me to go do things at night. We don't have time right now, but she's supportive of that kind of stuff. Golf, not so much because it takes so long and because it's in the middle of the day. Like, if I go out at night and she can go to bed, she didn't care. Whatever, I'm asleep. Doesn't matter. Golf is the middle of the day, and
I've heard it takes a really long time. My wife has said a lot, like, you know, I wish you would pick a hobby that's a little bit shorter, you know, doesn't take you 6 hours, you know, to get through from start to finish. And I get that. I can respect that. The thing that my wife and I, that where we're different is that, and I'm trying to work on getting better at this, my wife likes to tell me what she's got going on, and I like to ask her if there are things that I can go and do, where I'm like, you know, maybe I should just, like, start telling her in the same way she tells me, you know, like, hey, I've got this girls' night happy hour that I'm going to. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I'm always like, yeah, that's great. Because I think the more that you can go and do for yourself, that gives me a little bit more wiggle room to go and do what I want to do. So I always encourage her to be like, hey, you got that going? That's great. Go have a good time. That's awesome. Have fun. I'll hold down the fort here in hopes that it'll be reciprocated on my end. I'm trying to get away from the whole, like, hey, would it be okay if I go, and just being like, you know, look, hey, I've got this going on. That might be, you know, that might be the way that we move.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it. It doesn't matter. We're
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We concede. We concede. Golf, I'm going to play. I'm committed. Pot committed. I'm going to play more than two times this year. I'm going to do it. It's been my number, I think, for the last couple of years, and it's not enough, and I'm going to do it this year. Golf out of Crestview, by the way, is where I play. You could call them. They're supporters of the show, and we appreciate that. 869-1240. Let's come back. Let's talk a little Royals baseball, shall we? So they dropped the opener. They hung in there. I mean, I thought for a second they would be able to do it in a game that we didn't really expect them to do it. Now what do you do when it's Reagans and Barrios? To me, it's one of the better games on the baseball slate today in general because you got two aces like that. We'll get into it next as we continue on Sports Daily on a Tuesday. All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. We'll talk Royals in just a little bit here. Recruiting news for the Shockers, Tommy. So the big one is that Isaac McBride, the Oral Roberts player that was in the transfer portal, averaged about 20 points a game, decided to stay at Oral Roberts. And that was tough. Yeah. The Shockers really counting on him. I think, according to Taylor Eldridge, Wichita State was his only visit. Of course, his former coach, Paul Mills. That's tough. I think there were a lot of eggs in that basket this offseason, quite honestly. So that happened on Friday, I believe. And so then it's a reshuffling of things. And the interesting thing is, Justin Hill, who had been in for a visit, then went out to Utah. He's a Georgia player, commits to the Shockers. So Justin Hill, kind of a combo guard, it looks like, undersized, does not shoot the three particularly well. Never been above, I don't think, in his career about 35%. He scored a little bit before he got to Georgia, about 15 a game, got to Georgia, didn't start a ton last year for the Bulldogs, but played 24 minutes a game, 9 points. It looks to me like, and I have not seen his tape, but when I look at his three-point shooting numbers, that he's going to be more of a creator. The one thing that did stand out to me on him is that he doesn't appear to turn the ball over a ton, which is a major problem at the guard position for Wichita State last year. So in that sense, I think he will help them. Certainly he'll be a fifth-year player. But man, losing out on McBride's tough, because now with Rodgers out, Tommy, there is a huge need for scoring next year for the Shockers. They haven't gotten a tremendous amount better as a three-point shooting team based on paper, right? For whatever that's worth. They're going to have to, I don't know what they're going to do, but that was a big blow, I think, to the offseason for Wichita State.
Yeah, I think it was also, and you mentioned the lack of scoring. That is an issue for sure, and that's something that I know that they're going to need to address. I'm also concerned about a lack of size. I think this team is really small.
Yeah, they need another
big
man.
The way that it's compiled right now, because they just don't have, that kind of length. And there's an abundance of guards, an abundance of players that can play the first three positions. They don't got a whole lot, they can play power forward or center. So that's going to be, something else that they're going to need to probably try to address. It does sound like as of yesterday, there are a couple of players that have set up official visits with Wichita State. One of them is Corey Washington. He's a forward from St. Peter's. He's got some length. He can shoot. He shoots the three decently well, can kind of stretch the floor a little bit, which is good, for somebody at that position. And then they've got Zyman Sabala, who comes from Longwood. He's a 7-foot center, and so there's an official visit lined up for him as well. So there is a little bit of size, at least, that they're trying to target, but they don't have it yet. And just from looking at the way the roster pans out right now, minus those two open scholarships they have, it's a pretty small and undersized roster.
Shout out to Taylor Eldridge for following all this so closely, by the way, because it's an impossible task. We always appreciate his reporting on this. I like Quincy Ballard's prospects, but he's not a play every minute of the game
exactly.
kind of player. So, Ronnie DeGray probably gets more minutes, but, is that his true position? I'm not sure. The one thing I will say, they showed signs they'll be as experienced a team next year as any in the conference. It's very senior heavy team next year now with Justin Hill in there. I do think that matters, and I do think that can do things for you as a coach. AJ McGinnis is a little bit of a scorer, probably like a Colby Rogers light. And then you never know what you're going to get out of the freshman. So we'll see on all of that. They've got two freshmen coming in that are of the same sort of on-paper ranking or whatever that Wichita State thrived with, top 150-type players. Would I say this offseason has been a success? I would say no, it has not. It has not.
Yeah.
I don't think they've gotten enough out of the portal.
If they had been able to get Isaac McBride to Wichita, that would have maybe changed my thoughts on that
a little bit.
Probably
would have.
And I don't think that he's quite, he's not Colby Rogers. You're not replacing him, pound for pound. But it does help replace at least some of the production that you were getting from Colby Rogers. And now that he's staying in Tulsa, that's a major blow for his former coach. I mean, keep in mind, and I took me a while to like connect the dots because I don't follow it as closely as I probably should. I had completely forgotten that Isaac McBride was originally committed to Kansas. I knew I remembered that name when he was coming out of high school. I'm like, I know I remembered it from somewhere. He was a Bill Self commit, and ultimately didn't go to KU, but ended up at, I think he bounced around a couple other places too, and then went to Oral Roberts. And that definitely would have been an exciting addition for Wichita State. Now you've got to go try to, fill those holes elsewhere and then really try to figure out exactly what the best rotation is with the players that you've got.
They're going to have to outcoach them next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the circumstances on why Isaac McBride stayed in Tulsa at Oral Roberts. I think it is, without knowing all the details, concerning for the state of the NIL for men's basketball at Wichita State. I think that's fair. I think the, lack of blue chippers coming in is concerning. And while I think it's certainly better than it was a few years ago, because you're not seeing the max exoduses, so at least the, keeping players around portion has gotten better, but they're still not landing any big fish. And I think that the upside to this program is landing the big fish in men's basketball. I really do. There is no reason Memphis should be doing it and Wichita State not. There just isn't. And so I am a little underwhelmed. That doesn't mean I don't think the Shockers are going to be better next year or anything like that. I'm not remotely close to try to start thinking about that kind of stuff. I don't think they've gotten better on paper with the loss of Colby Rogers. Colby Rogers was one of these types of transfers at 1.2, though. So I do think there's a decent chance that, somebody that they're bringing in comes in, whether it be, you know, Justin Hill or AJ McGinnis or one of these guys and takes the next step forward and could get to that point. I think that's very reasonable to, you know, to wonder about, because it happened for Colby Rogers. Why can't it happen for somebody else? It's happened for a different Shocker, it feels like, every year for the last four. They're going to have to rely on the senior leadership here. I don't know, Tommy, if we're ever going to get the support in the NIL that needs to be there to land the big fish. It's this chicken and egg. If they don't get real competitive in the conference real quick, I just don't know that it's going to be there unless they start winning. And it's hard, because it's hard to win without the players. I get it. But unless they do that, I just don't see this flood of funding coming to bring in big-time basketball players. And that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's the major hurdle, one of them at least, with NIL at a lot of different universities. Wichita State's not immune to it, obviously, where you need the NIL dollars to attract the players to win, but you need to win to get the community to be willing to pony up the NIL dollars that it takes. You know, so again, like, that's where you've got kind of the grassroots efforts, you know, to try to re-energize the collective and try to find ways to get, you know, the donor base activated to be successful. The one thing that I've always thought about, and really it this is even before the world of NIL. This is when we're just talking about donors when it comes to facilities and, you know, different things like that at the university. Wichita State, while they're not generating the kind of revenue that major football universities generate, they don't have to compete with the resources that football requires.
No, it should be an advantage.
So it should be an advantage. Should be one of those situations where, you know, you don't have, I mean, for example, think about, I mean, we can use Kansas and Kansas State as an example, but I also look at a university like Alabama, where you've got a dominant football program, but then you've also got a basketball program that is really good and that they've stayed pretty consistent over the last few years. And now you've got NIL asks on both sides that are probably pretty large, even on the basketball side. And so, like, you've got to try to navigate that. Now, the amount of money coming in is different. It's apples and oranges than at Wichita State. But Wichita State, yeah, there are other athletic programs that are priorities and all of that, but, like, basketball is the bread and butter. And so you don't have to really have, like, split focuses. You can go all in on that. And to your point, you just mentioned it, that should be an advantage.
It should be. Think about, like, you know, outside of Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, probably only those three. Football's a bigger deal at the school than basketball is. Even North Carolina, I would guess that football's a bigger deal. We may see that shift at the University of Kansas as their football team gets better. But currently speaking, there are, like, such a tiny amount. But Tommy, there is no reason, none, when you think about teams that fit the same profile as Wichita State, which is no football and a history of premier basketball, Creighton, Gonzaga, they're similar size cities, right? Villanova, not so much, but
larger.
You know,
yep,
right. But Creighton and Gonzaga, nothing to compete with, and you're seeing a tremendous amount of success at those places. That needs to be what the expectation for Wichita State is. You are in a huge metropolitan area. Now, it's not a huge student population, but I'd venture to guess it's not at Creighton or Gonzaga either, or most of those Big East schools that you know, find success and are getting great players that don't have football. You gotta find it. You've got to figure out why they're able to do these things, and we haven't been able to do that at Wichita State so far. And easier said than done, I get it. And maybe it is chicken and egg, and maybe they do not get because the benefit for, you know, timing is everything, right? We talk about that all the time. Timing is everything. Well, Creighton and Gonzaga were already, you know, kind of chugging right along when this NIL thing started. Imagine, Tommy, if in 2014 or 15, when I moved here, the NIL space would have been a thing. I mean, Wichita State would have been killing it.
Yeah.
Killing it.
It wasn't
so
that
how do you get
ago,
back to that?
And I think about, you know, it wasn't that, I mean, we're like a decade removed from when
that feels
What was it? It was Carlos O'Kelly's. Remember Carlos O'Kelly's would do the commercials, but it was only with the Shocker players that had just graduated. You know, like, so you would have Baker and Van Vliet and Wessel right after they graduated. Then they would have the next class the year after that. Like, it wasn't that long ago that that was the confines in which, you know, those endorsements and the commercials and all, like, that was when it was happening. Now it's not like that anymore, you know? And so there should, if the program was more successful and if there was this community groundswell of support like we saw as recently as a few years ago, then you could absolutely capitalize on that, and the NIL dollars would probably be through the roof.
It's not easy to compare it either, because it's probably not fair to just assume that all of those players would have stayed either in the NIL environment, because they would have been some of the most highly coveted players potentially out there for other teams to poach away. But I'm just mean, like, the support of the program, like, they raised enough money to make Greg Marshall, a top five paid coach in the country. They could have raised the money for players at that point in time. A billion things have happened since then. And again, timing is everything. Remember, like, that was the momentum to join the American at the time when the American had UConn and Cincinnati and all these great teams, Houston. I mean, imagine that basketball league right now, right? With UConn and Houston and Cincinnati still there. That was the right decision. But timing is everything. For those other programs, they've been able to parlay that into something bigger. Wichita State, that was sort of the beginning of when things unraveled on them, and now it's hard to recover. So I hope out of this roster and what we're seeing now, because it doesn't sound like there's going to be a big splash to be added to it, that the experience in year two under Paul Mills and in having that many seniors on the floor, that does feel vintage Shockers, right? When they've had their greatest successes, when they've been senior-loaded teams, older players, you know, can those guys come together? We'll see. This is obviously a big year, bigger than it was even a year ago, but a little bit of recruiting news there for you on the Shockers as we get ready to sort of hit a lull, I think, at some point here pretty soon in that part of the season. Let's talk Royals. We'll do it when we come back. Big pitcher's duel tonight, maybe the best in baseball we have on the slate, and it happens with the Royals. We'll talk about it next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I think this is the pitching matchup of the night tonight across Major League Baseball. You've got Cole Reagans and Jose Berríos. Reagans got the best of Berríos, although they were both fantastic in that rain-shortened game last week. It's a rematch now. The Blue Jays are favored tonight at home. Tommy, I love this. There's very little that's better than a just massive, high-quality pitching matchup in Major League Baseball. And there are a handful across the league today, but none are better than this. I love this matchup. And it'd be another big opportunity for Reagans. You know, he had that one bad start. He bounced back in this matchup the last time out. Follow it right back up. See if you can take down one of the AL's best two games in a row.
I'm really excited about this game. And I mentioned it yesterday that I feel like Cole Reagans is primed to have a really good outing. I'm going to probably bet him. And I don't exactly, I haven't looked at the odds yet. I don't exactly know what the props look like for him. But if I can find a good angle and it's juicy enough, yeah, I think I'm probably going to bet Cole Reagans because, you know, he pitched really well in the rain-shortened game in bad conditions at home on Thursday. And since that time, he's just gotten to rest, and he didn't have to pitch. I think he only pitched, what, 5 innings in that rain-shortened game and looked really good doing it. So he can continue to rest up. You know, he sat the entire weekend against Detroit. Now he's able to, you know, go back up and face off against Barrios again. I really like Cole Reagans in this spot, and I feel like he's starting to trend up where, you know, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It's not like he's been pitching poorly this season, but he hasn't been quite as sharp as what we've been accustomed to seeing from him. But I do think that he's starting to trend up, and tonight will be a really good follow-up to build on what he did on Thursday.
All right, so let's look at this then. So you've got right now, you have Cole Reagans, his strikeout total is at 5.5 for basically even money. And I'm going to pull up his numbers here real quick to see what he did in his last game against this same team and pull up his game log here real quick. Let's get him in. And so it's at 5.5 on his strikeouts the last time out. Remember, this was rain shortened, so he may have been able to go another inning. He was at 4. The other one that I would be at, there are two more hits allowed. It's way juiced if you think up he's going to give up 5 hits or more. He actually kept the hit total down in his last game. Now, typically speaking, he does clog the base paths just a little bit. Total outs recorded is the one I'm most interested in, though, Tommy. So it's both of these pitchers, by the way, are at 17.5. 6 innings is 18 outs, right? 6 times 3. So if you think that Cole Reagans is going to get through 6 innings, it doesn't matter what else he does, right? He just has to get 6 innings logged or it's 17.5. So yeah, you have to get through 6 innings. He's at -105. He probably would have gotten through 6 innings in his last start against them. He has gotten through 6 innings in exactly half of his starts, would have been more than half if you look at the last game that was rain shortened. You know, a game against Houston where they just had a ton of hits and everything off of him, he went 5, and then that dud against Baltimore. Every other time he probably hits that number. I think at even money, that's probably a pretty decent way to attack the game if you're looking at pitching stats.
Yeah, and I think that he, you know, if he can show the stuff that he did on Thursday at home, then I don't have any problem with, you know, thinking that he's going to go 6 or more. The only thing that comes to mind would be, you know, that third time through the lineup, you know, at that point, is there going to be, you know, any kind of issues? And I watched a good majority of the game last night. There's a couple guys on that lineup that, you know, and I know they kind of roughed up Jonathan Bowlin a little bit. You know, Justin Turner couldn't miss, against Bowlin last night. And so if Turner is just kind of riding a hot streak and he carries that on against Reagans tonight, then that may shorten up the outing for Cole Reagans. Dalton Varsho is somebody else that is hitting the ball really well right now. He, you know, that guy swings it, pitches out of the zone and knocks him for doubles, it seems like, all the time. And so those are a couple of guys, you know, obviously to keep an eye on in the Toronto lineup. But assuming that Reagans can pitch like he did on Thursday and he's got his good stuff, then yeah, I've got no issue in thinking that he's going to go 6 innings or longer. And then at that point, you turn it over to the bullpen, which has been pretty good so far.
Let's do this then, because I'm with you. You can get right now. How about this? Because Barrios, by the way, has gone 6 innings in every game, except for the rain-shortened game, in which he probably was going to go 6. You can put both of those players to get through 6 innings. Let's bet a pitcher's duel. Both of those games to get through 6 gets you to +216. Now the question becomes, do you take it at +216 or Do you add another one and maybe take the games under if you think both of those players are going to get through six? Let me just take a look at that here, Tommy, because it's at 7.5. That's low, man. That's low. If you were to take that at even money and put that in the mix, you're now at +321. So that doesn't do enough for me to take that under. So I'm going to take that back out and sit at +2-1 odds. I'm just got my ESPN bet up right here. Let's book it. Let's do it. We're going to go for a pitcher's duel tonight. We're booked. It's bet both pitchers to get 18 outs.
I mean, don't you think that that's the way that, you know, more than likely, if the Royals are going to win this game, that's the way it's going to play out? I mean, you're playing you're hitting against a guy like Berrios. The offense is not, you know, knocking anybody out of the park right now. So I do think that's going to be the path.
You can get almost 2-1 on Bobby Witt Jr. to steal a base. I kind of like that too tonight. I'm not going to. We're good. I've got some on the Blue Jays to lead after five. I've got some for the Royals to win the game outright, and I've got the pitcher's dual bets. That's what I'm doing tonight. Three bets on one baseball game for me is a lot. I'm excited for this baseball game. If you can't tell, you'll be able to hear that on the Odyssey app. We'll have Shocker Baseball here on KFH tonight. We'll come back. We'll tell you what else is on the networks when we wrap up a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh.